If you guys are paying attention last week, you probably already know what today's message is called. Can you guess?
Motivation.
Yeah. Part two, motivation. So I figured that, part one was last week, so I figured you might be able to catch on that part two is this week. And last week I was talking about how a motivated person, someone who has motivation, is very successful. They're the most successful people because they really end up achieving and leading and getting to where their goal is taking them. They get to that level if you have that motivation. But there's, I was thinking about it, and I think there's actually someone else who's more successful than just the motivated person. I think it's the person who can motivate others. Now, I said it wasn't easy to motivate others. It's difficult. In fact, I kept using the example of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink, because it's not always easy to do that. But the people that can motivate others are going to be even more successful, because you can get far more done if you can motivate your team or your coworkers or an army or a football team to do whatever it is you need to do. As an individual, you can only get so much done. But if you have the ability to motivate others, you can achieve far more. You could create a movement. You could change the world. And that's all it requires, is you having the ability to motivate. A lot of times we've seen movies, right, where one of the scenes that gets near the end is where the football team has been marching towards the championship, and now they're at the championship game, and the coach comes into the locker room, and it's halftime, and they're losing, and their whole dream is slipping away. And then he gives that speech. He gives that speech that inspires. He gives that speech that gives you the goosebumps, and you cry because you're moved by it, and man, you just know this is the best part of the movie. He's motivating those players to go out and do their best. Someone who's not motivated will not play their best. They will not perform their best. They will not reach their goals. In fact, an unmotivated person will sit in the boiling water until it's too late. I'm talking about that experiment where they said you could put a frog into water and then slowly heat it up to a boil, and the frog won't jump out. He'll just stay there until he dies, because the water boils him to death. An unmotivated person is just like that. They will just sit in their circumstances until it's too late. But now we want to talk about, how can we motivate people? What can we do to motivate others? Because we got to remember, our mission is not just about us. We're learning to hear from God and use the words of faith so that we now can share that with those around us. And if we can inspire them, if we can motivate them, if we can lift them to a new level, their life will change and the world will be a better place. And that's what the goal God had for us from the very beginning. We need to learn how to be motivators. I got a few things you might want to write down that motivate people. Now, you may not want to use these, but let me share with you. Number one, scare the crap out of them. That always works. Man, fear really gets people motivated. I'm telling you, you threaten their life, they're going to do what you want to do. You know, what you want them to do. Number two, bribe them. If you give them enough, they're going to do it. The problem is, a person that's motivated by reward, they stop moving forward once the reward is gone. But you could bribe them. I remember as a kid, man, I had three brothers. You would think, having three brothers growing up on a farm, all healthy young boys, you would think, man, I could always have someone to play with, right? No. Man, I had to spend most of my time trying to motivate my brothers to come out and play with me. Come on, let's go play ball. Come on, let's play hockey. And so I had to resort to a lot of different ways to try to motivate them. Sometimes I would threaten them. That was number one, scare them. Sometimes I would bribe them. Okay, you can play with my Tonka toy truck if you come out and play catch with me for 20 minutes. You know, that's bribe. You know, so I try to come up with all these different ways to motivate my brothers to come out and play. By the way, if you haven't noticed, these ones I'm giving you right now are the jokester ones that you probably, a lot of people use them. They do work. Studies show that they actually are working to motivate people. But this is probably not the approach you want to take. So just make a note of that. Just put a line under that saying, Ted's being funny. Haha. Number three, you could nag them. Studies show that nagging works. This could motivate somebody to change their life and do something different, but only as long as the nagger is present. The minute the nagger is absent, the motivation is gone. So this motivation doesn't last either. Number four, hype. Enough hype will get somebody motivated. I remember this guy. He went to an Anthony Robbins workshop type thing. Man, you know Anthony Robbins or Tony Robbins? He keeps changing his name, so I'm not sure what he's going by now. Is it Anthony or Tony? Does anybody know? I don't know. Is it Tony right now? Because he used to be Anthony. But anyway, the point is that this guy motivates, but what happens is, so this guy goes to the workshop, he comes back and comes into my office, and the first week, man, he is motivated. I'm gonna go through brick walls. I can do anything. I'm gonna change my whole life. Everything's gonna change. This is incredible. It's amazing. He's talking like a million miles a minute. I'm like, whoa, slow down, dude. Like, what happened? Oh, I walked on coals. I broke wood with my own hand. I used an axe, you know? So week one was incredible. Week two, he comes in less motivated. Yeah, I'm gonna change my life. You know, it's gonna be great. You know, something good's gonna happen. Okay, good. Week three. What's happening? Nothing. I'm like, what happened? See, hype only lasts so long. You get somebody hyped up, but then eventually the hype wears off. You know, when you see that speech where you're getting your army to go into battle for that particular moment, maybe hype might be a good thing. Get them hyped up for this second right now where they can go into battle, you know, kind of like Braveheart. If you watch that, I mean, how many speeches did he give where the people got hyped up and they go in and they fight like crazy? But that's not going to last over the long haul. And the kind of motivation that we need is something that lasts. Nagging doesn't last unless you're there nagging them. No good. Fear doesn't last because eventually the fear wears off. So that doesn't last either. So that's no good for what we need either. So how are we going to motivate people? Bribing, again, the bribe will only work as long as the reward is in place. The minute we remove the reward, or they feel the reward is not enough, it doesn't work. They're not motivated. All of these are fleeting ways to motivate someone that doesn't help with our mission when we're working with God. We have to find a different way. We have to be able to inspire them on a whole different level. There's other ways. Salesmen are really good motivators. They motivate you to buy something you didn't even know you needed. Right? Have you ever turned on the channel and you see those infomercials? And man, they're cooking with that pan. Oh, that at first you're like, oh, pan, I don't need a pan. Well, you listen to that guy for 5 minutes. Pretty soon, hey, I want that pan. How much does that pan cost? Where do I get that pan? Can I order it now? Come on, show me the number. I've got to order this pan. You didn't even know you needed it. You got a whole cupboard full of pans. Why do you need this pan? Because he's telling you you need it. He's telling you what's great about it. And he's telling the rest of the pans that you've got are no good. And you decide, I need to get that. You've been motivated to buy a pan. Say amen to that. I don't know if you need to say amen to that, but whatever. You know, the point is that salesmen are good motivators. I remember I was a young guy, I was probably 20, actually. I was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. That's a tough gig. The vacuum, make it even tougher, the vacuum cleaner that I was selling was more than $1,500. So just imagine somebody shows up on your door, a little pimple-faced 20-year-old kid knocks on your door in the middle of the day when you're not even expecting anybody to come by and tell you, you need to buy this vacuum cleaner and you need to buy it right now and it's more than $1,500. You got to be a good motivator to get somebody to do that. I once sold three in a single trailer. In a trailer home. But the tactics that they were teaching us, they were teaching us a lot of these sales tactics and maneuvers that a lot of times I felt they were kind of manipulative. And as a young man, I didn't like that. I didn't like doing that. And so a lot of times I wouldn't use the tactics that they were teaching me. And sometimes I'd get on the phone and be talking to somebody from the person's house. The salesperson back at the office would be telling me, okay, Ted, here's what you need to do. We can maneuver them into this sale. Here's what you say. But I didn't like that. I believed in the product that I was selling, and I believed if I could just be honest with this person, show them what it could do, that would be enough. It wasn't always enough. You know, there's other things. But I didn't like doing these little tactics. How do we motivate somebody in a good way? Here's where you get out your pen. Here's where you make your list. I hope you cross those other ones out. I don't want you to get mixed up, because those do work. But they don't last, and they're not right for what we need to do. We need to be motivating people on a whole different level. You know, 4th of July is tomorrow. Did anybody realize that? Nobody realized that. Wow, I'm the only one. Well, it is a 4th of July weekend, long weekend. I got to give you guys kudos for being here on a long weekend, because you could have called it in. You could have said, okay, whatever. So, hey, that means you've got more motivation than the average Joe. Praise God. Say amen to that. So that's good. So based on that it is the 4th of July tomorrow, let's take a look at our founding fathers. They did something incredible. When they signed the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July, they essentially became criminals at that point. That was treason. They put their very lives on the line for something. What would motivate a person to put their very life? Let me read something that I found here that was pretty interesting. Well, this part you know. I wanted to read this too. This is a line that's famous from the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You've heard this before, I bet. I hope you have. Don't tell me you haven't. Now, when it was signed on July 4th, there's some question about whether it was signed on July 4th. Historians battle about it, but let's forget about that. I'm going to tell you on July 4th when they signed this. John Hancock, who's famous for his signature because it was big and flamboyant, and he was the first one to sign this thing. And supposedly he said to Congress after he signed it, "I must now declare we all hang together." Benjamin Franklin replied, "Yes, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately." They knew what was at stake here. They knew that by signing this document, that it meant their very lives. Not mattering about their property or their families, but they knew their very lives were at stake. I'm glad they had the ability to joke about it, that they could hang together. But what would motivate somebody to do that? It's an idea. An idea. An idea that's greater than the individual. An idea that's greater than anything they have in their life. It was an idea that they were standing behind. And I believe it was a clear vision. A clear vision of what this nation could be. What they were saying as we read this famous line, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." They're standing on an idea. They're standing on an idea, and because it's greater than them, and this is what has to motivate you. It has to be greater than you, what you're motivated by. It's not enough to just have your business be your motivation. You need to have something bigger than that. It's not just a matter of having that goal that you're going to make $1 million by the time you're 30. You've got to have something bigger than that. Our motivations can change if they're not big enough. It has to be a clear vision and an idea that's much greater than yourself. That's what these guys were doing. These guys had a clear vision of what this nation could be. They had a clear vision of where they were going, and they knew what the cost was. The cost could be their life, but it didn't matter. There were several declarations of independence signed before this one on lower, smaller scales. Different cities and counties all over the country were signing them, meaning the people were already agreeing that this was the idea of what they wanted this nation to be. Some 80 declarations of independence were signed on smaller levels before the Congress signed this one. In other words, these representatives were saying, our people have spoken, and they have said, we want this. And now we're going to put our necks on the line, and we're going to do this. This act of declaring this independence, and let me read again, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God. They mentioned that God's got a plan in here. Their idea isn't just about a country. Their idea is about the vision of God. And what is the vision that God has for this country? And now they state it very clearly. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. God wants people to have happiness. He wants them to have liberty. And they should have a life. And this is what they're standing on. This is the idea that's far greater than themselves. They're believing in what God believes in. And this is motivating them to put their very lives on the line. This same document inspired nations all over the world, in Africa, in South America, in Europe, to sign similar documents. In other words, these guys, having stood up for what was right, for a greater idea, that idea inspired other people. In other words, it motivated other people. So not only did it motivate a nation to set off in a direction to make this country great, it motivated other countries and other people. One idea that really began with God, so eloquently written and crafted and committed to. And because it was committed to this idea, it motivated a nation, but it motivated many others in the world. An idea and a clear vision. That's the motivation that we need to bring when we go out into the world. A clear vision. An idea which can inspire and change people and change the way they're feeling immediately. I remember as a young man, I was into bodybuilding big time, and I worked out a lot. I was in the gym 6-7 days a week, and if I missed one of those times, I was depressed because that was my whole life. I remember in my first spiritual experience with God, where I encountered God, as I was laying there in the midst of God's love, I heard Him say, "What is it all for? Why are you doing this?" And He was talking about bodybuilding. He asked me that question, why? Remember I talked to you last week, why is the question, why are we motivated to do this? That's the question we can ask ourselves. And when He asked that question, I didn't have an answer. I didn't have a good answer. I didn't have any answer. And I laid there and I was like, I don't know. From that day forward, though, my motivation changed. See, it's okay to be into fitness and working out. There's nothing wrong with that. I still like to go to the gym once in a while. I don't do it nearly as often as I used to, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, my life needed something more than the idea of lifting a weight. My life needed something greater than myself to make me feel happy, to motivate me, to set me on a journey where I could change not only my own life, but the lives of others. that now gave me greater meaning. When God began to speak into me and show me who I was and what I could do, that began to change everything when he told me about his plan. Let's take a look at someone else here. Throughout the week, I was noticing other interesting things, and this again goes back to a clear vision. I watched this movie about Mount Everest. It was based on an actual climb that happened in 1996. You might have saw that. It was interesting. And these guys, it was quite a large group. It seemed like about 20 people. I don't know exactly how many were climbing in the group, but there was a large group. And they got to the top of Mount Everest, and I noticed something seemed to take place because they had the motivation to get to the top of the mountain, and they were climbing and they were, you know, breathing heavy because when you get high, there's not very much oxygen up there. And they got to the top, and there's a little flag or area that denotes you've got to the top. And they all stood up there for a moment and took a look around and thought, ah, that's great. Okay, we need to go back down. You know, it was getting late. And they started down. Something happened on the way down. Storms hit. They realized they didn't have enough oxygen. All these different things. A lot of them didn't make it. But what I felt was the main culprit behind why they didn't make it, their whole goal was to get to the top. Their motivation was to climb Mount Everest to get to the top. And that was it. And once they got up there, I believe that some part of them just kind of let go. And the instinct to fight and to survive and to keep going kind of went out of the wind, went out of their sails, because they reached their destination. And now there was no more motivation. There was one guy, though, that was interesting. Because of the storm, they couldn't get down right away. And this one guy, he had fallen in the snow and he laid there all night, and he woke up in the morning and the storm was still going on a little bit, and a little bit of sun was peeking through and shone on him enough to get him conscious. But it showed him having a vision. And in that, he had a vision of his wife. And his wife was coming to him and beckoning him to come. And then he saw his two children. At that moment, he found something inside of him, motivation, in order to get up and go down the mountain. Up to that point, he'd only had motivation to get up the mountain. Now, suddenly, he found the motivation. This guy, frozen, both hands frozen, both feet frozen, slept out overnight in this terrible storm at the top of Mount Everest, got up because he had something motivating him to get down the mountain, and staggered down this mountain with no oxygen into the first base camp that they came to. People were like, oh my God, this guy just walked in there. I believe he survived, though, because he found something at that moment. I believe God showed him and told him to get up and showed him what it was that was driving his life. He survived because he had motivation, a clear vision of why he needed to get down that mountain. As we encourage people, we need to think about bigger ideas when we're talking to them. Yes, it starts out with them being upset. Maybe they came to you because they have a lot of debt. Maybe they came to you because they're sick. You know, these are big ideas at that moment for them. But can you inspire them to go beyond that? Can you inspire them to see something more? This one client of mine, she works for this drug rehabilitation center. She's working with addicts. It's a tough job. And a lot of them that come there are sent there by the courts. You know, the courts have ordered them that they've got to go to this rehabilitation center, they're going to go to jail, you know, something like that. And so a lot of them show up unmotivated. They're not interested in really going through the program. They're just there because they're supposed to be there. They're putting in the time. But every once in a while, she'll find one that will find something that'll motivate them. She was telling me about this one guy. And interestingly, he was motivated by the idea he wanted to join the Israeli army. He's Jewish. Makes sense. And this thought started to drive him. He thought, if I can do this, I can prove something to myself. I believe I can do this. And this idea that was bigger than himself. And why did he want to do that? Because he wanted to protect the nation of Israel. He wanted to do something good for the people. He found an idea that was bigger than just his own little world and his own little life, and suddenly he becomes motivated. She talked about him just tearing through this program. No temptations, you know, because when you're going through drug, you know, withdrawal and stuff, there's a lot of temptations out there. And this didn't bother him because he had a bigger idea that he was focused on. As he stayed focused on, I know I can do this. I know that I can become a member of the Israeli army. I can be trained and I can be a part of this great nation. I can do something incredible. And that got him through it. It was very inspiring for her to see that. Because as I said, a lot of the people that came there were not very motivated. You got to find an idea that's bigger than yourself. There's no idea bigger than God. You're not going to find someone with a bigger dream for you than God has for you. You got to embrace that and really see what God is talking about and capture that vision. Jesus was a great motivator. I marvel at how good he was at motivating people. I say that particularly because when he met some of his disciples, he would just say, "Follow me." They would drop everything they had, their whole life, and they would follow him. And I'm like, wow, that is an ability to motivate. Now, you could say, well, miracles could have played a part in it. Maybe they saw a miracle. But when we read some of those encounters, we don't see him performing a miracle before he says, "Follow me." You know, he encounters them and then he just says, "Follow me." And they drop everything, their whole life, change their whole life. I changed my whole life when I encountered God. Everything changed. These guys were changing their lives. Let's take a look at a specific example here that I want to talk about today. Because this is very interesting. This is the woman at the well. Do you remember this story, the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan woman. And Jesus was sitting there waiting for his disciples to come back. And out she comes to get some water from the well. Normally, Jews didn't speak to Samaritans. But on this particular case, he asked her, "Can I have a drink of water?" She says, "What are you doing talking to me? You know, you Jews don't talk to us. What is going on here?" Well, long story short, basically, he started to tell her about living waters. Because he said, "If you would have given me the drink, I could have given you a drink. You don't even have a bucket," she says. "The waters that I would give you are living waters, and you would never thirst again." What is he doing as he talks to her? Now, mind you, there's no miracle scene here. Nobody's healed. The blind don't see, and the cripples don't walk. This is a lady who's come out to a well, and now he begins to tell her about something else. He talks to her about this living waters. He asks her about her life. You know, he says, where's your husband? And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "Well, you've had 5 husbands, and even the one you have now is not your husband." So he knows a few things about her. I believe that what we're finding out here is this is a woman whose life isn't working. That's what I think. I think that's more for us to know. Her life isn't quite going the way that she's hoped it would go, and she's kind of struggling in that. But now he starts to paint this picture of something bigger. What is he talking about when he's talking about these living waters? He's talking about the Spirit of God. He's talking about the power of change. He is talking about receiving the blessing of God. She knows that they've been waiting for the Messiah, the one who will come that will save them, that will change their lives, that will make things better. He says, "I'm He." Now, what happened with this woman? She was so motivated by what he said because he gave her a vision of something bigger. Remember, Jesus is always teaching about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the way the system of God works and what it means for your life. It means not only healing, not only transformations, not only feeling good, not only being saved. These are some of the benefits, but this isn't the main thing. It also talks about power and authority. The power and the authority to change the world. See, you have to remember the big end game. what is the vision that, what is the big vision that God has for us? Yes, we're learning how to use faith so we can receive the blessings that God has given us. But why do we need that? Yes, we want to be healed, right? We want to have financial abundance. Yes, we want to have a soul purpose. Great. But what's the big picture of why God is motivating? We know that our founding fathers were motivated by the idea that was inspired by God for people to live free and to pursue happiness. But God's big plan for us is to use the power and authority that He has given us to take that around the entire world, to make the entire world the Garden of Eden. That's the purpose for you. And that's the vision that Jesus was sharing as He was sharing about these living waters. These living waters, they flow out of you. These living waters bring life wherever you go. You'll never thirst. Meaning you'll always have this flowing out of you. Life will be spread wherever you go. What happens with this woman? She becomes motivated. She leaves her bucket at the well and runs back to the city. You know how important your bucket was back then? You couldn't just go down to Walmart and get another bucket. This is, her bucket is everything. She had to go to this well a few times a day to get water. You need water. There was no running water in the house. Her bucket was everything to her. But yet, what He said to her changed everything in her life. The bucket's not important anymore. She's got something now on the inside. Something that's driving her. Something that's moving her. Something that has motivated her. And it's the idea that God brings. That not only your whole life can be changed. Five husbands, no problem. Your life's going to be different. She runs into that city and she tells everybody that she knows there, all the people, all the men, it said. She tells them, there's this guy. He told me everything about my life. I think he could be the Messiah. What was she doing? She's already motivating other people to change their life. She's got motivated now by a bigger idea, and immediately it sends her into action. Action that's different than she would normally take because she left her bucket behind. And she runs in and she talks to these guys. Can you imagine? She's got five husbands. I'm sure they were all looking kind of funny at her. You know, I'm sure she was kind of an outcast in the city. I'm sure she wasn't considered one of the elite. You know, oh, this lady with the five husbands. You know? But here she comes. And she tells them this story. She tells them about this man. And she motivates the whole city to come out of there and to see this man by the well. She's able to motivate them now because she's captured this vision, this idea that's bigger than herself, that's bigger than her five husbands, that's bigger than her bucket or the water that she had to get. She has an idea that will change her life and inspire her to do greater things. It will change everything. And that's the kind of motivation that you need to be bringing into people's lives every day. That is what will change them and change their lives. What happened in the city? These men all came out. They came out to see Jesus. They believed her. And then when they heard His words, they believed Him. And they were changed. And they asked Him to stay. They said, stay here. Stay here with us. Because they knew they had found a good thing. They knew this is what they needed. He stayed for a couple days, and more people believed. More people were motivated by the idea, a great idea, and a clear vision. He was showing them a clear vision of the kingdom of God and how it worked and what your purpose is in it. Your purpose, see, we talk about this all the time, so maybe you don't get excited about this anymore. That was fresh news to them. That was new. They were waiting for that. They hadn't heard that before. I hope you're motivated and excited. We have to see very clearly. This is why it's important also to see Jesus in the right way. We got to know what his plan was, what His mission was, and what He was bringing to share with us. It was a message of hope. Still is today. And it's that we have the power and the authority. We receive the power and the authority when we receive the Spirit. In other words, we have that living water now on the inside. That brings life to every situation, not only in our life, but in this world. We should be able to inspire and motivate everybody we come across. There's no greater message than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's no greater country, but there's no greater message. And they knew that this came from God, these founding fathers. This is the same message that the widow at the well was receiving, the woman at the well. She was receiving the same message, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. She could break out of the bonds of who she thought she was and become what God created her to be. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He wants you to do the same thing. He wants you to be inspired by His vision. And when you can grab that vision and see that idea clearly, you can break every single bond that is upon you. It doesn't matter whether it's sickness. Doesn't matter what the disease is called. Doesn't matter whether it's addiction. This man from the Israeli army, he reached his goal, by the way. I didn't say that. But he reached his goal. Why? Because he had an idea bigger than him. There's no idea bigger than this one that God has for you. You captured that. You are free. You have liberty. That's why July 4th is so important. We have liberty. We don't want to give that up by losing the idea. We don't want to give that up by forgetting what was the clear vision that they had back then. Because that clear vision is still there for us today. And God is pouring it out upon you in greater and greater ways. You can receive that right now to change your life. But even more importantly like that, be like the woman at the well who ran out to tell a whole city what inspired her. And she inspired them, motivated them to come out. Be a motivator. Be a motivator. I'm hoping you're getting motivated right now, but be a motivator, not with fear, as I was joking. Not with bribery, not with nagging, not with hype, but with a single solitary idea and the clear vision that God has given us and the power and the authority that works through that, the Spirit of God can come into you in Jesus' name and you can change everything. And anybody you share that idea with, their life will be transformed totally and completely in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.